An assessment now of risk, whether we're talking about rolling over SUVs, this is a story in the news, or the risk of pilots going up in the air and facing volcanic ash getting into their jet engines, or whether we're talking about the risks that Goldman Sachs attempts to minimize when it designs derivatives and sells them on Wall Street and gets them insured by AIG and ends up facing SEC charges of civil fraud. John Dickerson joins us now, political correspondent for Slate. He's writing a series this week on risk for Slate.com. Good morning, John.
Hey, John. Good morning.
Also joining us is John Marshall. He's an author, a speaker, a teacher, and a player, and lover of roulette, blackjack, and craps. He joins us from Sacramento, California. John, thanks for getting up so early.
Yes, I'm still a little dark out here.
All right, well, to both of you, let's talk first about the Goldman Sachs story, because it seems that there's some sort of Wall Street ethic that claims that if you make counter bets, if you make multiple bets, you bet on one thing, but then you bet against that happening. If you make enough side bets, you can actually eliminate risk. And of course, the financial meltdown suggests it didn't work out that way. But John Marshall, when you hear Goldman Sachs saying we can make multiple bets and eliminate risk, what do you feel in your gut?
Well, what comes to my mind is, roulette is a game that you can never get past zero. So the house is always going to win a little bit. But what we do is we look at it as kind of a fee to play the game, and we're trying to reduce that fee to the lowest denominator.
And you literally make side bets in roulette. You bet on the blacks and the reds and then maybe the evens and the odds, and you try to lower the amount that the house has as an advantage.
Exactly. We don't bet the numbers because they're all long shots. They're tough to win at. But if we play the outside ones, like you were saying, the red, the black, and the high and low, we've reduced the house odds down considerably. But you got to remember, like in the old days of the Wild West and old days of Chicago and Indiana, where they had the illegal casinos there, they'd wire up the table and electrify a little steel ball, and sometimes you'd never win.
A different kind of risk. So John Dickerson, John Marshall deliberately begins with a metaphor of roulette and especially a rigged game in the casinos in the old days. How does that relate to what's going on if we look at risk today?
Well, in some cases it is rigged, and that's the allegation against Goldman Sachs. You know, it's been okay for all kinds of bankers, Wall Street bankers and just regular old bankers, to try to minimize their risk. They put some capital at risk out in the market, and we've decided it's okay for them to take measures to try and reduce the amount of risk. Two things that are at play here is the allegation against Goldman is that they tried to rig the table, that
right.
They were selling instruments on the one side, convincing people that they would make money while betting against those very instruments. And that allegation is not just a hedge. That's cheating. So and sometimes the line here can between cheating and just minimizing risk can seem awfully thin. But
cheating can be a hedge, right?
Sure, indeed. Yeah. It can be a hedge. We try to have
listen to John Marshall against. Laughing in the background. Yeah.
And the other thing I guess I would say with respect to Goldman and all people who try to, what they try to do is either get rid of risk or try to sort of make it certain, put a number on it. And in the series I've been writing about, it's whether you're talking about Wall Street and Nobel economist Kenneth Arrow, who said that vast ills have followed a belief in certainty. And then you have one of the military generals I write about, it talks about in war, the surest way to lose is if you think you've found a certain process, because war itself is always messy. And if you forget that inherent messiness, you're in for trouble.
And so if you're sitting next to a player who believes he's got a lucky streak, John Marshall, that's when you start winning the money. If you find somebody who's absolutely certain about something, that's when you sort of run away from them because they're going to behave recklessly. Would you go along with that, John Marshall?
Yeah, I'm afraid so. I see that all the time, yes.
Let's turn this to the volcano story, and to both of you, who are writing about financial risks, which are a little abstract, even though losing money is very, very painful. But how do you assess a risk of taking a plane up when you know there's a volcanic ash cloud up there that may or may not bring you down? John Dickerson?
Well, I think the in that case you have to there's so many different things at play. I mean, in that case you have to do all the weather measurements and everything, and the problem is you end up, you know, you're making a judgment call in the end, and one of the great lines that some of the military guys I talked to say, you know, the difference between a risk and a gamble is you can back out of a risk. You can have it go badly and still survive, but a gamble, it's irrevocable, and you're making a gamble if you make the wrong call and your plane is in the air and the engine's shut off. There's with regular flying, though, people who are afraid of it, the calculation of risks has sort of two elements. One is the probability of the thing happening, and the second element is the severity of it. And so if you're walking under an apple tree, you might know that you're going to get hit in the head, but it's no big deal. If you're in a plane, you might know in theory that the probability is quite low that it's going to happen, but because it's a fiery crash, that tends to make you more risk averse, even though it's not likely to happen.
All right, so we'll take our last question to John Marshall, and you've made some pretty risky bets in your day, right, John?
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Would you get on a plane?
You get a feel for an event happening, and it's a good day, and things are working fine, so you go all out, and yes, it appears that very good 85% chance of winning,
okay.
But there's always that 15%.
All right, but
that doesn't work out.
So how do you calculate the risks of getting on a plane that's going to fly through a volcanic cloud quickly before we go?
Well, we learned our lessons from Mount St. Helens. It's zero. I mean,
zero.
You go try to fly through possibility, you're going to lose all four engines today, and I've got some background in aviation, I know, so there's no chance to take a risk. Maybe the guy
all
in
right.
front, but remember, he's got a lot in the back.
He's sticking with the roulette. John Marshall, author, speaker, teacher, player, lover of roulette, blackjack, and craps, and John Dickerson, political correspondent for Slate, writing a series this week on risk for Slate.com. Thanks so much.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.